This is the University of Cambridge Local Examination Syndicate, International General Certificate of Secondary Education, June 1992 examination in English as a Second Language. Paper 4. Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, candidate number, and centre number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you'd like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you're doing the test. The tape should now be stopped and the papers handed out. Now you are all ready, here is the test. Look at the questions for part one. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. You will hear each question twice. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. Part 1. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answer should be as brief as possible. You will hear each question twice. Question 1. Your teacher is telling you where you can find your project. Where exactly is it?
If you look in the art room, you'll see my brown file. Your project is inside it. If you look in the art room, you'll see my brown file. Your project is inside it.
Question 2. Your friend is telling you about her visit to the theatre last night. What time did she get home?
It was a good play, really, but it went on later than I'd expected. I had to get the 11 o'clock bus, so I didn't get in till nearly midnight. Dad was wild, but I couldn't walk out in the middle of the play, could I? It was a good play, really, but it went on later than I'd expected. I had to get the 11 o'clock bus, so I didn't get in till nearly midnight. Dad was wild, but I couldn't walk out in the middle of the play, could I?
Question 3. Hannah is giving you directions to her house. What is her address?
If you go up First Avenue, after about 500 metres past the post office, you come to Park Street on the right. Our house is number 17, opposite the gate to the park. If you go up First Avenue, after about 500 metres past the post office, you come to Park Street on the right. Our house is number 17, opposite the gate to the park.
Question 4. Ali is talking to his dentist. What is wrong with him?
I've never really had a problem like this before, but when I wake up in the morning, my jaw feels stiff and my gums ache. I've never really had a problem like this before, but when I wake up in the morning, my jaw feels stiff and my gums ache.
Question 5. The caller wants to change something. What is it?
Good morning. I am telephoning for my son, who has an appointment at 10:15 next Tuesday. I'm afraid he won't be able to come then because he has a driving test. Could he have an afternoon appointment on the same day, please? Good morning. I am telephoning for my son, who has an appointment at 10:15 next Tuesday. I'm afraid he won't be able to come then because he has a driving test. Could he have an afternoon appointment on the same day, please?
Question 6. What must you do if you want to get into the school hockey team?
If you seriously want to be considered for the team, you can start by turning up on time for class practice. Now, go into the changing room and get your things on.
That is the last question in part one. In a moment, you'll hear part two. Now look at part two, exercise one. Part 2. Exercise 1. Question 7. Pauline has sent her pen friend a cassette tape and some photographs. In this extract, she is talking about the photo shown on your question paper. Identify the girls in the class by writing the appropriate letter in the box provided. You will hear the description twice.
Anyway, on our last day at school, I took my camera in and took lots of pictures. The one I've enclosed is of me with my best friends. Do you recognize me with my hair shorter? I'm sitting at the front next to Kim. I don't know why I was looking so worried when everyone else seemed so happy. I'm sure I've told you all about Kim. We've been friends since we started primary school. Behind her are Sharon and Alison. Alison looks very tall, but she must have been standing on something. Julie's the one in the middle at the back. She's the one I told you about, who does all the sports. Last June, she broke some record or other for throwing the javelin. The other two are Karen and Simone. Simone's the one with dark, curly hair. Her mum teaches us maths. Karen, the one with her hair tied back, only started at our school last year. But she's one of my best friends now. We're going to the same college next year. The picture of the awful red brick building is the newest.
Here is the description again.
Anyway, on our last day at school, I took my camera in and took lots of pictures. The one I've enclosed is of me with my best friends. Do you recognize me with my hair shorter? I'm sitting at the front next to Kim. I don't know why I was looking so worried when everyone else seemed so happy. I'm sure I've told you all about Kim. We've been friends since we started primary school. Behind her are Sharon and Alison. Alison looks very tall, but she must have been standing on something. Julie's the one in the middle at the back. She's the one I told you about, who does all the sports. Last June, she broke some record or other for throwing the javelin. The other two are Karen and Simone. Simone's the one with dark, curly hair. Her mum teaches us maths. Karen, the one with her hair tied back, only started at our school last year. But she's one of my best friends now. We're going to the same college next year. The picture of the awful red brick building is the newest one.
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for exercise two.
Exercise 2, questions 8 to 13. Listen to this conversation about a road accident, then complete the police officer's notes. You will hear the conversation twice.
Look, here's the police officer. Tell her what happened.
Officer, I saw everything. It happened right in front of me.
Right, just a second, let me find my pen. Okay, it's the 5th of September, 1330 hours. Can you tell me what time the accident happened?
About 10 minutes ago. I'd just come out of work to get some lunch.
What happened, precisely?
Well, there was a car parked just here, by the no parking sign, and the cyclist moved out into the middle of the road to go past it, and got knocked off his bike by the car that was overtaking him.
Yes, yes, my colleague's talking to the driver of that car now. Could you read me the car's registration number?
You mean the one that hit the cyclist? HE7902.
Nothing wrong with your eyesight, then. What happened to the stationary car?
The driver came rushing out of his shop and drove away very fast. He was about 30 years old, tall, with dark hair. The car was a white Ford, and I wrote down the registration number.
Well done. You're the sort of witness we dream about.
Well, as a matter of fact, I applied to join the police force last week, and I'm waiting to hear how my application's going. So I thought I'd try to train myself to be observant. I write things down in this little pad. Where is it? Yes. DRM3664.
DRN36...
M for mother. DRM... 3664.
Right. We should be able to trace that. Now, what's your name and address, please?
Paul Pradek. That's P-R-A-D-E-C. 113 London Road, Wendale.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spell the name of the town? I've only just been assigned to this area.
W-E-N-D-A-L-E.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Pradek. Would you read through the statement? Then sign it if you're satisfied it's accurate.
Now you will hear the conversation again.
Look, here's the police officer. Tell her what happened.
Officer, I saw everything. It happened right in front of me.
Right, just a second, let me find my pen. Okay, it's the 5th of September, 1330 hours. Can you tell me what time the accident happened?
About 10 minutes ago. I'd just come out of work to get some lunch.
What happened, precisely?
Well, there was a car parked just here, by the no parking sign, and the cyclist moved out into the middle of the road to go past it, and got knocked off his bike by the car that was overtaking him.
Yes, yes, my colleague's talking to the driver of that car now. Could you read me the car's registration number?
You mean the one that hit the cyclist? HE7902.
Nothing wrong with your eyesight, then. What happened to the stationary car?
The driver came rushing out of his shop and drove away very fast. He was about 30 years old, tall, with dark hair. The car was a white Ford, and I wrote down the registration number.
Well done. You're the sort of witness we dream about.
Well, as a matter of fact, I applied to join the police force last week, and I'm waiting to hear how my application's going. So I thought I'd try to train myself to be observant. I write things down in this little pad. Where is it? Yes. DRM3664.
DRN36...
M for mother. DRM3664.
Right. We should be able to trace that.
Now, what's your name and address, please?
Paul Pradek. That's P-R-A-D-E-C. 113 London Road, Wendale.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spell the name of the town? I've only just been assigned to this area.
W-E-N-D-A-L-E.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Pradek. Would you read through the statement? Then sign it if you're satisfied it's accurate.
That is the end of part two. In a moment, you will hear part three. Now look at the questions for part three, exercise one.
Part 3. Exercise 1. Questions 14 to 18. You will now hear part of a radio program. In this extract, a parent and a doctor are being interviewed. For each question, put a tick in the box next to the correct answer. You will hear the extract twice.
I am sure we have all met aggressive children who will have temper tantrums for the slightest reason. They terrify not only their parents, but everyone else as well. Is this behavior due to lack of parental discipline, or are there other causes? Some parents, for example, believe that their child's bad behavior is the result of an allergic reaction to a particular food. Today, we have with us a doctor who specializes in treating children's illnesses and a parent who is convinced her son's behavioral problems are caused by what he has been eating. Mrs. Smith, could you tell us about your son's problems?
Johnny, who's five, had terrible behavioural problems. He would scream, shout, and bite other children for no reason. My own doctor didn't help, but I got good advice from a therapist at an alternative clinic.
And this clinic told you to cut out all dairy products when your regular doctor had been unable to advise you?
Yes. I banned dairy products, and the problems disappeared.
So, Mrs. Smith, you think putting your son on a strict diet has cured the difficulty?
Yes.
What is your opinion, Doctor, of the alternative clinic's advice to cut out particular foods from a child's diet?
I sympathize with Mrs. Smith, but I wouldn't be so sure that allergies to food were the cause of Johnny's problems. Medical research shows that genuine allergies resulting in behavioral problems are rare. When you exclude certain foods, it's not just a question of indulging a child's likes and dislikes. You may be depriving that child of the vitamins and minerals he or she needs to grow. Now, I feel that Johnny is more in danger of suffering from a lack of vitamins because his diet isn't wide enough.
But then why should Johnny's problems have disappeared when dairy products were banned?
Well, can I ask you, Mrs. Smith, have you put the whole family on the same strict diet as Johnny?
Oh, yes. We're all on the new diet to help Johnny.
Then I'm not surprised he's improved. I often find if you have a child being difficult because he wants more attention, and if you change the diet so the whole family learns to fit in around this child and the diet, then, of course, the child's behavior improves. I'm sure this is also true in Johnny's case.
What about alternative clinics, such as the one Johnny attended, who claim to be able to cure food allergies?
Well, they may be successful in some cases, but some clinics take advantage of a patient's desire to get better and offer expensive treatment when there is no scientific proof that the treatment actually works. Don't forget, patients are in an emotional state and very willing to believe someone sympathetic. Although they charge more, I'm afraid I wonder whether the clinic therapists are as well qualified as regular doctors.
Many thanks to you both. I'd be interested in hearing from any of our listeners about their experiences, whether positive or negative, of alternative allergy treatment. Our second item on the program...
Now you will hear the extract again.
I am sure we have all met aggressive children who will have temper tantrums for the slightest reason. They terrify not only their parents, but everyone else as well. Is this behavior due to lack of parental discipline, or are there other causes? Some parents, for example, believe that their child's bad behavior is the result of an allergic reaction to a particular food. Today, we have with us a doctor who specializes in treating children's illnesses and a parent who is convinced her son's behavioral problems are caused by what he has been eating. Mrs. Smith, could you tell us about your son's problems?
Johnny, who's five, had terrible behavioral problems. He would scream, shout, and bite other children for no reason. My own doctor didn't help, but I got good advice from a therapist at an alternative clinic.
And this clinic told you to cut out all dairy products when your regular doctor had been unable to advise you?
Yes. I banned dairy products and the problems disappeared.
So, Mrs. Smith, you think putting your son on a strict diet has cured the difficulty?
Yes.
What is your opinion, Doctor, of the alternative clinic's advice to cut out particular foods from a child's diet?
I sympathize with Mrs. Smith, but I wouldn't be so sure that allergies to food were the cause of Johnny's problems. Medical research shows that genuine allergies resulting in behavioral problems are rare. When you exclude certain foods, it's not just a question of indulging a child's likes and dislikes. You may be depriving that child of the vitamins and minerals he or she needs to grow. Now, I feel that Johnny is more in danger of suffering from a lack of vitamins because his diet isn't wide enough.
But then why should Johnny's problems have disappeared when dairy products were banned?
Well, can I ask you, Mrs. Smith, have you put the whole family on the same strict diet as Johnny?
Oh, yes. We're all on the new diet to help Johnny.
Then I'm not surprised he's improved. I often find if you have a child being difficult because he wants more attention, and if you change the diet so the whole family learns to fit in around this child and the diet, then, of course, the child's behavior improves. I'm sure this is also true in Johnny's case.
What about alternative clinics, such as the one Johnny attended, who claim to be able to cure food allergies?
Well, they may be successful in some cases, but some clinics take advantage of a patient's desire to get better and offer expensive treatment when there is no scientific proof that the treatment actually works. Don't forget, patients are in an emotional state and very willing to believe someone sympathetic. Although they charge more, I'm afraid, I wonder whether the clinic therapists are as well qualified as regular doctors.
Many thanks to you both. I'd be interested in hearing from any of our listeners about their experiences, whether positive or negative, of alternative allergy treatment. Our second item on the program...
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for exercise two.
Exercise 2. Questions 19 to 24. Listen to a flight attendant talking about her job and answer the questions in the spaces provided. You will hear the conversation twice.
Well, Sheila, can you tell me about a typical day in your life as a flight attendant?
Oh, yes. There are certain patterns that we follow every day. For example, the purser asks us to attend a briefing meeting. Basically, what he or she does is inform the flight attendants about any changes in safety procedures. Tells us if there are any special needs passengers aboard, such as handicapped passengers, and goes over the order of the in-flight service, meals, drinks, and so on.
Does the job ever worry you? Would you feel trapped if a passenger started causing trouble, for example?
It does sometimes happen that a passenger will start creating problems or being rude to one of the crew members. It's crucial that the crew can rely on each other to work as part of a team. We tend to discuss that with each other until we come up with a suitable way to handle the situation. And usually it works very successfully.
I imagine that it's very important that you can get on well with members of the crew.
Oh, yes. This is integral to the success of the flight in general. And most of the time, the crew do like each other. You see, it's not like jobs where irritations and personality conflicts come up over time. It's unusual in that it's a short-term relationship. We see each other on the flight. If we so choose, we can get together on the stopover as well.
Have you ever considered leaving the job?
Yes. But lots of things make it worthwhile to keep going on with it. You see, I love shopping for clothes, and I'm able to shop in cities all over the world. All the clothes I buy are for wearing during my leisure time, as a uniform is provided for work. When we stop over in various cities, we get paid quite a generous allowance on top of what we normally earn, which I can usually save, as most of the meals are provided for in the hotel. It's these things above all that make me stay on. I think I'd also find it rather difficult to go back to a routine job.
Do you usually enjoy your stopovers?
Yes, usually. We stay in luxury hotels that are within walking distance of all amenities. I like swimming, so I use the hotel swimming pool. But you know, these hotels are weird in a way. You can get kind of cut off from everyday life. For that short period, you are protected from everyday problems. An invisible hand is providing food, clean sheets, you name it. It's a fantasy life in one way. After all, who can afford to stay in five-star hotels regularly? But it is nice to get home to familiar surroundings as well.
What attracted you to the job?
It's hard to pin down. Maybe the fact that it was a job that I could go to, do the work, enjoy it, and at the end of the day, when I walked off the aircraft, I could completely forget about it until the next day. Unlike some jobs I've had where you end up taking the work home with you, so to speak. My other jobs were a little more intellectually satisfying. I had a company car, but I tended to let work take over my leisure time as well.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Well, Sheila, can you tell me about a typical day in your life as a flight attendant?
Oh, yes. There are certain patterns that we follow every day. For example, the purser asks us to attend a briefing meeting. Basically, what he or she does is inform the flight attendants about any changes in safety procedures. Tells us if there are any special needs passengers aboard, such as handicap passengers, and goes over the order of the in-flight service, meals, drinks, and so on.
Does the job ever worry you? Would you feel trapped if a passenger started causing trouble, for example?
It does sometimes happen that a passenger will start creating problems or being rude to one of the crew members. It's crucial that the crew can rely on each other to work as part of a team. We tend to discuss that with each other until we come up with a suitable way to handle the situation. And usually it works very successfully.
I imagine that it's very important that you can get on well with members of the crew.
Oh, yes. This is integral to the success of the flight in general. And most of the time, the crew do like each other. You see, it's not like jobs where irritations and personality conflicts come up over time. It's unusual in that it's a short-term relationship. We see each other on the flight. If we so choose, we can get together on the stopover as well.
Have you ever considered leaving the job?
Yes. But lots of things make it worthwhile to keep going on with it. You see, I love shopping for clothes, and I'm able to shop in cities all over the world. All the clothes I buy are for wearing during my leisure time, as a uniform is provided for work. When we stop over in various cities, we get paid quite a generous allowance on top of what we normally earn, which I can usually save, as most of the meals are provided for in the hotel. It's these things above all that make me stay on. I think I'd also find it rather difficult to go back to a routine job.
Do you usually enjoy your stopovers?
Yes, usually. We stay in luxury hotels that are within walking distance of all amenities. I like swimming, so I use the hotel swimming pool. But you know, these hotels are weird in a way. You can get kind of cut off from everyday life. For that short period, you are protected from everyday problems. An invisible hand is providing food, clean sheets, you name it. It's a fantasy life in one way. After all, who can afford to stay in five-star hotels regularly? But it is nice to get home to familiar surroundings as well.
What attracted you to the job?
It's hard to pin down. Maybe the fact that it was a job that I could go to, do the work, enjoy it, and at the end of the day, when I walked off the aircraft, I could completely forget about it until the next day. Unlike some jobs I've had where you end up taking the work home with you, so to speak. My other jobs were a little more intellectually satisfying. I had a company car, but I tended to let work take over my leisure time as well.
That is the end of part three and of the test. In a moment, your teacher will stop the tape and collect your papers. Please check that you've written your name, candidate number, and centre number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you mustn't talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, the tape should now be stopped and all the papers collected. Thank you, everyone.